Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for February 16th, 2007. This week, we're going to tell you how humans triggered the most destructive earthquake in Australia's history and report on some cannibalistic fish. We also want to remind you to come to our event in San Francisco this weekend, February 17th and 18th, to meet us and claim your Science Update mug. But before we do all that, Chelsea Wald answers this listener's question about insects.
Scott Berger of East Sound, Washington, wrote to ask where all the insects go in winter. Well, Scott, we turn to entomologist Lou Sorkin of the American Museum of Natural History in New York. He says insects have many strategies. Some butterflies migrate. Some termites burrow deep underground. Honeybees stay warm with shared body heat. Adult praying mantids die, but their eggs survive. And some insects even go into suspended animation or produce a sort of antifreeze. Others, he says, are just where you can't see them.
Some spiders and insects, mites and such, may very well be very active under the snow because there's a layer of space under the snow to the ground, and that could be an active highway for a lot of arthropods.
If you have a cool science question, call us at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT or submit it at scienceupdate.com. If we use it in the podcast, you'll win a Science Update mug.
Thanks, Chelsea. Birds are direct descendants of dinosaurs, and fossils of small, feathered reptiles have been known for over a century. One of these, called Microraptor gui, had not two, but four wings. Its hands and feet had long flight feathers. A new analysis of the tiny dinosaur reveals that it may have oriented these wings with one pair atop the other, like a World War I biplane. The researchers believe the reptile glided from tree to tree with an undulating motion. In other prehistoric bird news, the gigantic flightless terror bird Titanus walleri had a huge hawk-like head and enormous claws. For many years, scientists thought the bird lived as recently as 10,000 years ago, along with humans. But using a new dating technique, University of Florida scientists now believe the fossils are 2 million years old, long predating modern humans. Next, Justin Warner has this story on an unusual way some fish find a quick lunch.
Cannibalism may sound like a drastic way out of a paternity dispute, but among male fish of the Indonesian species T. sarracenorum, it's standard practice. According to PhD student Suzanne Gray of Simon Fraser University in Canada, when a male of the species spawns, other males sometimes sneak in to try to fertilize the same eggs.
It happens really, really fast, and what we see happening is if the male detects other sneakers, other cuckolders in the area, that is when he is most likely to eat the eggs.
Gray says other kinds of fish also cannibalize their eggs in certain situations, but this case is interesting because it's a split-second decision and because the males of this species never care for their eggs anyway.
In the fish studies that have gone on before, where there's parental care, there's a lot of different factors involved that may influence a male's decision to eat those offspring, such as whether or not there are other mates around, whether there are resources for him to eat. But in this study, because there's no parental care, it makes it unique.
Besides getting a free lunch, these male fish may benefit from cannibalism by eliminating future competitors for their other offspring's resources and by keeping the practice of sneaking in check by effectively punishing the behavior.
Thanks, Justin. Since 1955, America has spent $35 billion on polio vaccination. But that's generated a net savings of over $180 billion. This according to a new analysis by scientists at the Harvard School of Public Health. Lead author Kimberly Thompson says they modeled how the disease would have spread without vaccinations and then estimated how much it would have cost to treat it.
People often don't realize that it's hard to get credit for things that don't happen. This is a real challenge because with respect to public health, if people don't see the benefits of the interventions, but they look at the costs, then they might misperceive, in fact, how very valuable public health interventions are.
She says that's an important lesson not only for efforts to eradicate polio in developing countries, but also for our own healthcare system, in which emergency treatment often trumps preventive care. Finally, most people think natural disasters are out of our hands, but it turns out that we could be the cause of some of them. Chelsea has this story.
Coal mining directly caused the most destructive earthquake in Australia's history. That's according to geoscientist Christian Closa of Columbia University. The 1989 quake killed 13 people and caused over $3 billion of damage, which is more money than the coal fields ever produced. Close's model of the Earth's crust shows that the extraction of coal and groundwater put enough stress on the underlying fault to cause the earthquake. He says, surprisingly, the region's seismic stability made the problem worse.
In stable continental regions, they are more trigger sensitive because stresses build up over thousands or millions of years and faults are close to failure.
Like Australia, he says, Northeast America is also a stable region that has seen human-triggered earthquakes. Aside from mining, oil production and reservoir construction can trigger quakes in susceptible areas. He hopes engineers will start using models like his to better assess the risk.
Thanks, Chelsea. Remember, the free AAAS Family Science Days are this weekend. If you're in the San Francisco area, come to the San Francisco Hilton on February 17th or 18th. Chelsea and I will be there from 11 to noon on both days, passing out free Science Update mugs to podcast listeners. To get a free mug, you must take one of us aside and say the password, "Why is it?" You'll also get to meet the hosts of the popular television show MythBusters. You can learn more about Family Science Days and the AAAS annual meeting at AAAS.org. We hope to see you there. Also, to find out about our new daily podcast feed, check out scienceupdate.com. Well, that's all for this week. Next time, we'll be bringing you reports from the AAAS annual meeting in San Francisco, where thousands of scientists have gathered to report their latest and greatest findings. In the meantime, visit us at www.scienceupdate.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.